The Pilatan caravan traveled across the new lands for several days, covering a rapidly changing terrain. Some sections were arid, the land scorched and barren, where others were lushly vegetated with overhanging woodlands. There was little wildlife to bother the caravan. Most of the animals were small, and the birds weren't of a predatory variety. There was, however, one moment when the Pilatans came face to face with a facet of mainland life with which the companions were all too familiar. It was on the third day, as they crossed a stretch of land that was so sunblasted and rad-damaged that little could grow. The only thing that linked this to any of the other areas they had passed was the ubiquitous two-lane blacktop that still wove its broken-backed way across the land. A scout party reported that they had located a source of water. The Pilatans were plentifully supplied with food, as Jack had taught them his special hunting skills, but water was always a problem. They could only store a certain amount of water as they journeyed, so the search for it was always of paramount importance. The scouting party had found a spring about 3 miles to the northeast. Marcos led the caravan in that direction. It was on the way that Christy turned to Ryan.
Something bad's about to happen, lover. I'm not sure what, but it doesn't feel good.
Triple Red, keep your blasters ready.
Shouldn't we tell the others?
Sharona readied her own Vortac precision pistol, which she had kept hidden about her person.
What am I going to tell them? They don't really know much about Christy's special abilities.
Have it your own way, Ryan.
I will.
Dad, we can...
Looking to where the spring lay, the companions could see a mass of naked people. No, not people.
Fucking stickies!
What are stickies? Time for explanations later, Marcos. Just know that they're vicious and they need chilling.
The pack by the spring suddenly sighted the caravan and turned to charge them. From the manner in which they had been greedily drinking from the spring, they had probably not seen water for some time, and they probably had not seen food for just as long. The Pilatans had rung the dinner bell.
Don't let them get near! Just blast the bastards!
The muties were still far enough away for a lot of the rounds to miss. Even though some stickies hit the dirt, the promise of food and the panic caused by the carnage among them spurred the stickies on even more, and they continued their charge toward the Pilatan caravan.
What manner of creatures are these?
Sunita watched, frozen in horror, as the muti horde covered the distance between the spring and the caravan with deceptively fast, loping strides. Marcos was one of the few Pilatans with the presence of mind to fire on the approaching danger.
They're dangerous and deadly if you don't start firing! Now start shooting, for God's sake, and aim for their heads!
Galvanized into action by Mildred and Marcos, the leader and the rest of the Pilatans began to fire. But some of the stickies were now on top of the caravan. One grabbed at a Sekhman, frozen in fear, and wrestled him to the ground, the suckers tearing the flesh from his face as the creature's sharp rows of teeth went for his throat and shoulder. Mildred moved across swiftly and placed her ZKR on the side of the sticky's head, blowing its skull open, splattering the terrified man with brain and bone. The dead sticky fell from him, but the thing's skull had cracked like an eggshell, and the teeth from its bottom jaw stayed embedded in the man's face.
What now?
Shit!
A sticky jumped on Sunita, dragging her to the ground. They were rolling wildly in the dust, the leader fighting to throw the muti off her, just barely holding its head away from her face, pushing with the heel of her hand firmly under the creature's chin. But the sticky, strong arms were pulling her toward it, its suckers biting into the skin through her clothes. Mildred tried to take aim, but they were moving too much. There was too much risk of hitting Sunita if she fired.
Ugh, fuck me!
Jack saw what was happening, and before Mildred even had a chance to register what he was doing, the albino hunter sped past her. Holstering his .357 Magnum Colt Python, he palmed one of his razor-sharp, leaf-bladed knives.
Et toi!
He took the sticky at a run, slicing across the front of the creature's head, opening up its face from the top lip to the forehead, slicing through the nose, and puncturing one eyeball along the way. Sunita gagged as the creature's fetid breath mixed with the gore that dripped into her face. The agony of its wound loosened the sticky's grip. Sunita responded immediately and threw the muti off her. Even before it had landed, Jack followed up to finish the job, pinning it down and slicing it across its throat with one swift, efficient motion, cutting through the neck, through to the spinal column. Sunita didn't have a chance to thank him. She showed her appreciation by blasting the sticky that was making for Jack's exposed back. Gradually, as the firepower of the caravan decimated the sticky horde, The stunned Pilatans began to gain the upper hand, and the remaining Stickies ran in terror. When the retreating muties were out of range and the Pilatans were safe, Marcos turned to Ryan.
Now are you going to tell me about those creatures and any other hazards we may need warning about?
Yeah, as soon as we've cleaned up.
With replenished stocks, the caravan once more went on its way. Ryan and the other companions outlined some of the unique dangers that the Pilatans may face in the Deathlands, but despite the increased vigilance of the sect patrols, there was nothing more to report as they made their way out of the rat-infected section of country. As the land became more verdant once more, they found themselves climbing an incline as they followed the blacktop. It would finally take them away from the old Predark route they had been following, for the blacktop curved away and came to a sudden halt where a chasm had been cut into the land by an earth movement. It was about 60 feet wide and stretched like a scar on the land as far as they could see in either direction. Looking down, the chasm seemed to be at least 100 feet deep, with trees and shrubs growing down sides that were too steep to descend.
It would appear, friend Ryan, that this is the end of the road, quite literally. From our discussions, I gather that many villages and trade routes are built along these old roads, and that would have been our surest chance of hitting something approaching civilization.
Yeah, but civilization is just a word that I've seen in some old Predark books.
Point taken, my friend. Let us just say that it would bring us into contact with other people. But now...
Well, it's not that great a disaster. There's more than one old blacktop left across the land. If we keep going, we'll come to something sooner or later. Someplace where you can settle.
But not you?
I doubt it.
The caravan headed back and continued up the long incline. It was an easy trek after the past few days. Game was plentiful, as was edible fruit, and streams provided drinkable water. It was such a peaceful procession that actually reaching the crest of the incline was somewhat of a surprise. The pinnacle formed a plateau before them for 100 yards before beginning the descent into a valley below. The caravan came to a halt, and they all surveyed the territory in front of them. The far side of the valley was a much shallower incline, leading on to lands beyond. They could see the remains of old roads in the distance and the marked-out remnants of arable fields and pasture. At one time, before the new cost, this land had been prime farming acreage, with roads to vills that may lay beyond, still possibly existent, and served by trade convoys.
Wow! Just look at that!
Now that looks good to me, Sunita. What do you think?
I think that it may be what we are looking for, Mildred. It has farming possibilities and the space to build a new settlement. Moreover, it is not at present populated, so we will not be intruding on another vill's space and sparking conflict that we can ill afford.
All in all, sounds perfect.
Perhaps it will be. Perhaps for all of us?
That I couldn't say.
Mildred noticed that JB and Ryan were conferring about something they had seen down in the valley. The caravan began its descent down the soft slope toward the floor of the long valley and the perfect lands for settling that lay there. Ryan beckoned to Mildred to join them. As she did, he indicated a small crevice in the land that lay about 3 miles to their left, at the join of the incline to the valley floor. Casting her eyes over it, Mildred could see that it had all the hallmarks of a hidden redoubt. To most eyes, it would look like nothing more than a small rock indent in the land, but the experienced observer could tell the recognizable camouflage around a redoubt entrance. Some may have been stripped of this after Skydark, but this one still retained its disguise.
We'll tell them tonight, Mildred, when we rest, and then strike out for the redoubt tomorrow. We've got a few things we need to sort out among ourselves. That's if you want to come with us.
I've made my choice, Ryan.